Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth.
People of Earth. Welcome to the Hucklebug. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. It is episode 730 of The Hucklebug.
And when we talk about special, boy, was it going to be special.
Well, it was almost so special that we didn't record it.
Right, it was so special, it didn't exist.
It was almost so special that Bet's computer was like, nope, I'm not doing it this week.
It was the unicorn of podcasts.
So special it can't even be heard. We don't have any rips, so I think we will start this week with your shout-outs, everybody. Roar! And there were none on hucklebug.com. So over here on our Facebook page, we have one under the episode, and it's for Kelly with an I.
Who's visiting Irvin?
Yes, Irvin the Cute in San Francisco.
Irvin, well, now Irvin is Irvin the Handsome.
Irvin the Handsome now? He's graduated.
The heck up.
He's graduated.
He is a man now, people.
That's like Nick the Child, not the Cancer is probably.
Exactly.
I guess he's really more now Nick the Young Man, not
yes.
the Cancer. Because he's what, 17?
Yep.
Crazy. Take Kelly's comment.
Yes, I will. She says, Bet maybe on the dog butt magnets. Those sound familiar. I know I have some cat ones. So, well, that cinches it for me.
Yeah.
If you have the cat ones, I'm sure you sent me the dog ones.
Yeah.
She's really liked Enemy of the State with Mr. Hackman.
Yes.
Which we both know the title of, but we can't place the movie.
Right. I even went so far as to say I not only recognize the title, I'm pretty sure I really liked the movie, but I cannot remember what it was about at all. But he's excellent in everything.
And she says, glad Steny got to have some dog time. Oh, yeah. It sounds like it was super
Benji.
Cute.
Oh my goodness, he's such a good boy. I miss him.
Oh.
I was catching feelings for him very, as the kids say, I was catching feelings for him in a big way. Oh. And, you know, he was only here for like 2 hours, but I'd already envisioned our entire life together.
Exactly. So. Oh, I so understand that.
I'm like, I'm going to take him to Petco, and I'm going to get him a little bed, and I'm going to get him some toys.
I see people carrying their dogs into Paul's down the street and say, oh, we would have such a great night
I would love that dog. That dog doesn't even know what it's missing. Thank you for your shout-out, Kelly, with
Yay.
An IE. And then our second and also final shout-out this week is for Doug.
We are the Doug.
We are the starcher. I chose a different key this week for We Are the Doug. Doug says, this was a stressful and fun week for me. History presentation for BTG was exhausting and a ball. Have a great show. Love you. We love you too, Dougie. We love you right back.
Yeah, come on. And Doug, I have a really quick thing to tell you. And I hope you'll take it as read. I was going through my car the other day. Mm-hmm. Where I have in the console between the seats.
Yeah.
Some, you know, now that I have XM, I never play CDs anymore.
Right.
But I was pulling out some CDs in there, and one of them was the soundtrack to Sing Street, movie we all love.
Good one.
But the other one that I had been playing before I put CDs away was Miss Lynn's CD
that she made. I have that too.
And it just brought back such good memories. And
I think I gave a copy of that to my mom, too.
I'm going to have to pop that in and play. The daddy, the father medley was, I love.
Yeah. All I was going to say is that my car does not have a CD player in it.
New ones don't.
Cars do not come with CD players anymore. Yep. All media is now digital. which is good, but also bad. It's good in terms of storage because you don't have to put your discs anywhere. But it's also bad because nothing really belongs to you anymore.
Well, yes, and it's bad for me because I had so much wanted to give my CD set of David Sedaris's Calypso to her.
To who?
To Pat.
Oh, okay.
But she has a newer car that has no CD.
No CD. No, that's it. Can't listen to CDs anymore. It's over. It's all over with us and CDs. Thank you guys for your shout outs. We appreciate them, and we appreciate you, of course. And we will move on now to movies. Beth, did I just hear your alarm chirp?
Oh, no. But if you hear a chirp, people, I'm not on life support. But if you hear a boop every once in a while, I have a smoke alarm.
It is your smoke alarm.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I can handle that.
Well, it doesn't go off a lot.
Okay. Maybe that was the only one we'll hear.
And Tuesday, the batteries will be changed. But
okay,
for right now, I've
waiting
got a bit
for
of
Tuesday.
A chirp in my system.
Got it. Waiting for Tuesday. Why are we waiting for Tuesday?
Because that's when Pat comes to my house. Cleaning
okay.
Pat.
Oh,
you know,
right.
I've
no,
got
of course.
Get on a ladder.
Yeah, I'm not expecting you to get on a ladder. Right. Of course right. not. That's crazy. Who? What am I thinking
one
of?
One of the many, many services Pat provides to
even
me.
Even Scout just meowed at me to chastise me for even suggesting such a thing. My apologies. All right, Niblet, tell us about your movie.
Well, I have a movie I'm going to tell you right up front. Thumbs sideways.
Thumbs sideways, okay.
Not really down for one reason only, but not up at all.
Okay.
I read an article earlier in the week about, you and I know, some others may know, Errol Morris, documentary maker.
Extraordinaire,
who has made some of the greatest. And he hasn't made one in a little while, but he came out with one.
And, you know, he won his Oscar, and he was like, eh.
Whatever, right?
Yeah. Who needs him anymore?
But he came out with one that started Friday on Netflix.
Oh.
And it is, talk about In Your Wheelhouse. Now, Pat, not that Pat, but my sister Pat, you all know that we're normal girls. We're not, you know, we're not maniacs or anything, but we are just obsessed with the Manson family.
Oh.
We're not fans. We're just obsessed.
No, of course not. Yeah, I'm glad you're not fans.
And so every book that comes out, one of us will buy it and we'll trade it back and forth. And at one time, I think the two of us were reading three or four Manson books at one time. So the movie is called Chaos.
Okay.
And it's about the Manson family.
Right.
And the murders.
Yeah.
But it doesn't tell the normal story that we all know about race wars and helter skelter and all that.
Right.
It goes with the theory by a guy who wrote a book about the Mansons called Chaos. And he goes in this. I hated this book so much. I don't even know that I finished it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe three fourths of the way in, I ditched.
Yeah.
His theory is that it had nothing to do with that. And that Manson, as evil as he was, he may have been kind of a pawn in a bigger game of the U.S. government, who in the 60s were doing a lot of experiments with mind control. Think Manchurian Candidate. They referenced quite a bit.
Well, there were was it the Tuskegee Airmen? There was a branch of the military. Black servicemen were subject to a lot of experiments.
And so I never bought this theory for a second. I just thought he was a hippie-like god to these lost children, and he gave them a lot of drugs, and they followed him anywhere.
Right.
Of course, I didn't agree with the whole premise of the movie.
Yeah, and you would have known that going in, knowing that it was based
on the book. That was the thumbs down for me.
Okay.
But the thumbs up for it is, I don't know where he found them, if he's Errol Morris, but there are clips and pieces of film that I had never seen before. Mm. Because you normally see all the normal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the girls on the sidewalk with the exes, you know, singing happy songs. But there are so many great pieces of footage that it kept me interested till the end.
Yeah.
Didn't like the subject matter. but like I said, thumb sideways. It's called Chaos. It's on Chaos. Netflix.
Okay. My movie's also on Netflix. It is not a documentary. It's a narrative film, but it is based on a true story. And it's called Operation Mincemeat. I don't know if this movie had any kind of wide release. Have you ever heard of it?
I have never heard of it.
Okay. It's with Colin Firth. And, I cannot remember the name of the actor who plays the other. There's other actors in it. I don't remember any of their names, but I'm not going to go to IMDb to look them up because that always delays us. But Colin Firth, pretty big name. Oh, Penelope Witten is also
in Wilton.
It.
Oh, God, she was.
Love her.
Britcoms from the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Neighbors, I think. Was she on that one? Good Neighbors?
It was Neighbor. Good Neighbors. Might have been.
I think it was good. Yeah, Good Neighbors. Neighbors was more of a soap, I think. Good Neighbors is the one I'm thinking of. Anyway, I just heard it chirp again. You liar.
I didn't hear it here. Maybe because I have my headphones in.
Ah, could be. Anyway, Operation Mincemeat is based on a true story, and it is about the British Intelligence Service during World War II. And there's a particular battle that they were staging to attack Sicily. It was their only route into Italy, and they had to take out Italy so that they could throw a little bit of chaos into Hitler's plans. By the way, in this movie, the Nazis are the bad guys. I just want to point that part out. I think from now on, when I watch movies that have Nazis, I will let you guys know whether they are good guys or bad guys. And in this case, they were bad guys. So they want to attack Sicily, but it's very obvious, not just to them, but also to the Germans, that Sicily is the best place to attack. So they have to figure out a way to convince Germany that they're actually going to invade Greece. And so the British intelligence, it's MI5 slash, what do they call it? The 20 Committee, the 20 Committee. I don't know if that's a committee that's known to you, Bet.
Not new.
I mean, you know, it's not meant to be known, right? It's a secret. It's a spy organization, so we're not supposed to know. But this was the group that Ian Fleming worked with during the war. So Ian Fleming is a character in this movie, and you can totally see why Ian Fleming would become a spy novelist after working with this group, because their job. So what they've decided they're going to do in order to convince the Germans that we really plan to attack Greece and not Sicily, is they're gonna put out a dead body with secret papers on him saying we're gonna invade Greece. But it's all about how they come up with this thing. But when they have to create a dead body, they don't have to create a dead body. They have to find a dead body that will match the description of somebody who would have actually died in the war. In other words, a white man. With all of his appendages. But they also, they go to great lengths to create this huge backstory for him. And, you know, the entire committee of four or five people, they sit around and they talk about, like, where he went to school, who he's in love with, whether he's late to meetings or not. I mean, like,
intelligence stuff. Yeah,
exactly. But I was enraptured by the whole thing. I was like, no wonder Ian Fleming became a spy novelist, because that's what he's doing. He's basically, he's inventing.
He did that. He was a spy novelist in the war.
He was. Well, and he started writing in the movie anyway. He was already working on his spy novel, but then a lot of the guys that they were working with in the British Secret Service and other spy organizations, they were also, it's kind of a running gag that everybody had a little spy novel in their desk drawer. Everybody was working on one. But they also pivot so easily between, you know, writing a backstory for, like, creating a fictional character. They pivot from that to, to the intelligence side of things, that is, you know, the actual technical aspects of where they're going to attack and, you know, that side of things, they pivot so easily between them. The only downside of this movie is that there's, I thought, a very clunky love story shoehorned into it that I also did not believe. Now, maybe that was part of the true story as well. It didn't seem like it to me. And I felt like that just slowed the movie down. I'm like, get back to the part where you're making up, you know, a wife for this guy. But it was lovely. So I'm going to give it a big thumbs up. It was a little bit like, my favorite part of heist movies is always when they're planning. The planning scene in a heist movie. This whole movie is one big planning scene, basically. And so in that regard, I thought it was good. So anyway, thumbs up for Operation Mincemeat with Colin Firth and Penelope Wilton and that one guy with a big, big fake mustache.
By the way, not that I wasn't listening to your recap, but while you were talking, I went to look up Penelope Wilton. We're going to kick ourselves right in the ass.
What?
She was in Shaun of the Dead.
Well, of course, yes.
We're coming to get she's you, Barbara.
Yeah, that's right. She's Shaun's mom. Well, she's been in tons of things. I wasn't going to rule that thing, but I love her. She was also in Downton Abbey. She was Matthew's mom in that. And she was on Afterlife with Ricky Gervais. Oh, she's been in tons of shit.
My thing for her from the 70s was the Norman Conquest.
Oh, Christ. British. Yeah, she was great in that.
With her and Tom Conti.
Everybody, I'm so in love with Norman Conquest.
Know that you knew that.
I would love to direct that someday. Oh, it's a play. It's three plays actually.
Okay, I'm getting rid of IMDb. Okay.
Yeah, I know. That's why we don't open it during the show. Anyway, so big thumbs up for Operation Mincemeat. I think you in particular would enjoy it.
I think that would be right in my wheelhouse.
I think it would too. You know, I've seen movies and also just like heard stories about, I'm certain there was a movie about this. I know that the British Army were trying to convince the Nazis that they had tons and tons of armor. So they had like inflatable tanks in like this big farming field.
I've seen clips of that.
Yeah. And I feel like there was a movie based on that also. And that was called Operation something, but I don't remember what operation it was. And anyway, that was one that I'm certain I've heard about multiple times, but I love this kind of spy shit. I don't like actual James Bond movies, but I do like movies like this that are sort of based on real life.
Please
spy
let
operations.
The title of this episode be I Love Spy Shit.
I love that spy shit. Well, it might be. There was something else that we said earlier that might also be. I can't remember what it was now. Okay. Niblet, let's move on to video.
I do have a video of the week update. I think, if I'm not mistaken, when last we left you, because I did listen to last week's show, we had Jackie, the mom, and Shadow, the dad, of the bald eagles in their nest.
By the way, eagles are monogamous and they mate for life.
Oh.
I don't know if you knew that. I'm just throwing that out.
Nice to know.
Yes.
But we had 2.5 chicks, because we had 2 chicks and the egg.
And the
with
egg.
Like some hair just coming out of it.
Yeah, it was mid-morning.
And it may have been that same night after we recorded. If not, then certainly the next morning. Mm-hmm. We had a third chick.
Right.
Well, and let me tell you, people, I don't normally watch stuff like this, but I became obsessed with this family.
Yes.
And so every day at work, you know, get my stuff up on the computer, put YouTube in the background just so I can have it there.
Right.
And I was having a blast. I mean, you have to watch a lot of one of them just laying on the chicks.
Yeah, I mean, every time I tune in, it's just an eagle sitting on a nest, really.
But when feeding time comes, it's just a ball.
Right.
And Wednesday at lunch, oddly enough, I got to see both Jackie and Shadow feeding lunch to the 3 chicks. It was a family lunch.
Yes.
And then Thursday, it apparently, it, this is up in the mountains of California.
Right.
So there's snow. Big Bear Valley. So I went in to look and it had snowed and the nest was so, I mean, there had to have been 8 inches of snow.
Yeah.
In that nest, up to the eagle's beak.
Mm.
And I thought, oh my God, what's going to happen? You know, and then it kept snowing and the snow would get on the back of whoever mm-hmm. was on the,
right.
You know, and they would have to flap
their
wings.
That's why they're there to keep babies keep
right.
babies warm.
And so I knew that we weren't going to see the babies that day and I was okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then yesterday went out, queued up the feed. Mm-hmm. And when it came feeding time, there were only 2 chicks.
Right.
And like I said, I don't like to get invested in crap like this, but it killed me.
Yeah.
I hadn't started grieving yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking, well, maybe at some point, you know, the third chick will pop his head out and say, I'm here. You know?
I'm just hiding. I was just hiding behind
just
people.
But, you know, this is, as Steny told me earlier, Mother Nature is cruel.
Yeah.
This is not a scripted movie.
Right.
This is a live cam.
I was actually, you know, when you told me there were 3 eggs, I'm like, well, that seems like a lot. And I actually looked it up, and the standard clutch for eaglets is 1 to 3 eggs.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's good, because at least one of them will live, is what I said to myself.
Well, and not only was I so upset at the fact that there was no third chick,
mm-hmm.
the other two were not, they were floundering.
Right. But that's what they do in their babies.
Well, you know, there's that one who takes all the food from everybody else.
Yep. Know? That's
the little
the alpha.
Grubby one.
That's
you know.
The one who's going to live for sure.
Well, and that's the thing. When the mom or dad was feeding, she gave the food to him.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, she's giving the food to him because she's thinking he's the one who's going to live.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one couldn't even lift his head out of the nest. It was
right.
awful. But today, sadly enough, on the feed, you can see kind of the carcass,
the remains
of
yeah.
the third chick.
Yeah.
But the other two, hopping, jumping, doing
yep.
their thing.
They're
getting
okay.
Some
they're
food.
Just a little chilly.
The snow is starting to melt a little bit. It's
yeah.
You know, so those two chicks may still make it, people.
Oh yeah. I think there's a good chance at least one of them will survive.
The grubby one.
The one, you know, the grabby one. That's
grabby.
That's baby, that is Darwinism in action. That's what you are seeing. That is what survival of the fittest is about. But that was why I have my video of the week. And this, I'm glad you put these together. Because I also have a
yes.
video of the week. And if you, listeners like Bet, find that you are getting perhaps a little too attached or a little too emotionally involved in the eaglets. Not too emotionally involved. You know, you get as emotionally involved as you like. But if you find that you're needing a little bit of a break because from the harsh realities of a winter nest in Big Bear, then I would like to happily point you in the direction of the live video feed that I sent to Bet when she told me about the eagles, which is a live kitten cam. These kittens are indoors. And there's 8 or 9 of them. I don't think I've ever seen all of them on camera at one time. And they just play. They're inside. They're in no danger.
Does it say where it comes from?
I haven't looked at the details
okay.
on the video.
Okay.
So, you know, it's some cat rescue place. The mama is in there with them coming and going. And there's, you know, a ton of these little kittens. They're probably 3-4 months old. And they sleep a lot because that's what kittens do.
Well,
but then when they wake up, they play a lot and they're very cute.
I do have to tell you, when Stens first gave me the link, I didn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
But I went there earlier today and it was sleepy time. I mean, they
yeah.
were all out and I thought, well, this is certainly fun. But then
this is much fun as watching an eagle
sit
on the nest.
Of Lincoln watching them.
Yes.
I went back, and yeah, they were playing, they were having ball, they were mischievous, they were great.
Yes, they're so cute. So that's, you know, a little palate cleanser for you if you've been watching the Eaglets and you're worried about their
day.
Exactly. Go check in on the kitten cam. So I was watching them last night very late, and I'm like, man, I wonder if they leave the light on all the time in this room. But then I checked it around, I think 2 a.m., and the camera was dark. So I'm like, okay, they do eventually turn the lights off. No. Okay.
Well, that's probably good for the kitties.
Yeah, probably. All right, let's do your next thing, which is the tooth and the whole tooth.
Yeah, nothing but the tooth.
Yeah.
And I promise I'll keep this short.
Oh, baby.
And I know I probably told you this when it first happened, which had to have been at least 3 years ago.
Okay.
That's the kind of person I am, people.
It's true. It's true. We worked on fixing her computer about 6 months ago, and I said, you better call Jody and have him help you with this. And she did nothing, which is why we were delayed.
Especially in this area.
Okay.
So those years ago, I was just sitting in my chair. I wasn't eating. I hadn't bitten into anything. Mm-hmm. I was just sitting. And all of a sudden, I bit something.
Mm.
And I reached in, and there was a little piece of a back tooth.
A little bit of tooth. I remember this.
Well, how the hell did that happen? It just broke for no
reason.
Just
broke, yeah.
So, fool that I am, I take the bit of tooth, I go to the bathroom, and I put it on a shelf, like, okay, I'm going to get some Gorilla Glue, and we'll just stick it back down in there. All will be well. Of course, right. That didn't happen. And so I've been living with this crack in my tooth all this time. And it's not bothered me. It's been nothing. I've been worried about what might happen later, but it's never bothered me. I'm a left-side chewer of food. Huh. And the tooth was on the right side, so that's fine. But about Tuesday, no, Monday, maybe night, I started feeling a little soreness in that tooth. And I thought, this is it. The black cloud of doom has finally arrived at my head. I've left it too long and, you know. But I was okay with it. I went to the drugstore, got some Aura gel. And was, you know, Q-tipping it in. Wednesday for lunch, I microwaved my lunch, went to my desk to eat it. And, of course, it was hot. And I thought the top of my head would blow off when I bit into my lunch. And so when I mentioned it to the girls at work, of course, they were all over me. Well, you better make a dentist appointment right now. Make it for your afternoon off tomorrow. And I said, I have a haircut tomorrow. I'd rather have my haircut than go to the dentist.
Uh-huh.
But I've been doing the Aura gel, and it's holding steady. Every once in a while, yesterday for lunch, for some reason, my lunch was celery sticks. So I was jumping on
for some reason. Your lunch for you? What the fuck? For some reason.
Right, for some reason.
Who is making your lunch?
Like I'm trying to be healthy. I don't know.
Okay.
But I chomped into a piece of celery and it happened again. And, you know, I took that. And so I've been talking to people on the phone at work.
Yeah.
Nobody's seen me from the public.
Right.
But I've been talking with that Q-tip full of Aura gel in my teeth.
So my goodness.
Bert, can I help you?
Yeah, niblet.
but I know I'm going to have to do something with my tooth. Oh, my God. I hate the dentist. I'm sorry, Mish. I hate the dentist.
Well, she's not a dentist. She's a hygienist. Oop, we're out of time.
Oh, my God.
You're not going to like hearing this.
Oh, dear.
This problem with your tooth is undoubtedly much worse now than it would have been if you had it seen 3 years ago. And the longer you wait to have it looked at, the worse it will be. So my advice is just buckle up and go in. It's going to be bad, though, and it's going to suck. And this I might just, be why you hate the dentist is because you wait until it is as bad as it can possibly be.
I just keep thinking of this scene from the TV show I love, The Americans, about the Russian spies, where Carrie Russell had been in a fight and got her tooth cracked. And so she just took a pair of pliers and got her. I'm about to that point. If I could just get rid of the tooth, I'll take a piece of gum. I'm okay there.
Oh, Niblet.
It's not like it's in the front where people can see it, you know.
Right, right. Well, best of luck to you with your tooth.
Well, yeah. If anything transpires, people, I'm sure you're on the edge of your seats.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm fully expecting that you're going to go in and you're going to need a root canal. And probably...
Well, and that's why I eat on the left side. Because I've had a root canal on the left side and everything's A-okay over there.
Okay. Well, you know, once you get even your canal on the right-hand canal, side, everything will be okay on the other side,
even
too.
Though a root canal sucks ass.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. All right. I have an Ask Reddit question
of
the week.
Yes, I can't wait.
I think you'll like this one. Who's an actor? And, you know, there's not very many women in here, but of course we are using the gender-free version of actor, so it could be a male or a female. Who's an actor who nailed a role so hard that nobody else will ever be able to live up to it? Now, tell me who the first person is that comes to your mind.
Easy. Bruno Ganz, Hello Dishy One, playing Hitler in the movie Downfall.
Well, that's interesting because I feel like I've seen lots of compelling Hitlers, including Bruno's was excellent, of course, including Taika Waititi in Jojo Rabbit.
But that was for comedy.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's the same. It's still the same role.
It's the same Hitler.
it's the same guy. He just played a different version of the very first one that came to my mind. The very first one that came to my mind was Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch.
But the second one
that came to my mind was Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones. Now, I've gone through the comments here in this thread, and I have not found Gregory Peck yet. But obviously, Reddit's much younger than we are.
Were there other indies considered?
Are there other... The only other indie I know of is River Phoenix playing him as a younger man.
Well, no, but I mean...
Which, by the way, was fucking great.
Were there other people competing?
Apparently, they wrote... They wanted Tom Selleck originally, and they
didn't get it. Oh, that would have never worked.
He would have been terrible. But my point is, I can't imagine anybody else in the role. But here are some of the, I had to scroll a long, long way through the comments before I found anybody else who said Harrison Ford. And they said him for Indiana Jones and Han Solo, which I would agree with. Although I think Han Solo maybe could have been played by somebody else, but I can't imagine anyone else as Indiana Jones. So here's some of the names in the Reddit thread that other people have said. Only Mike Myers could make Austin Powers work. That's the top comment right now.
Probably.
Someone else, a Redditor named Neither Sparky says, let's just say a Misery remake would be utterly pointless. Which I don't know, probably anybody could play the James Caan role, but Kathy Bates for sure.
Right.
Christopher Lloyd nailed it as Doc Brown in the Back to the Future movies.
I feel like
other people could have played Doc Brown. I'm not sure about Jim Ignatowski, though, on Taxi. I would say Christopher Lloyd nailed that one. James Gandolfini as Tony Soprano. That's a good answer. Now, see, this person says Leonard Nimoy as Spock. I've seen other people play Spock, and they're pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought Zachary Quinto was excellent as Spock. So I disagree with that one. Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men. Now, that one... I can't say no to. That was excellent. This one's pretty good. Rowan Atkinson is Mr. Bean.
Mm-hmm.
I can't picture anybody else playing Mr. Bean. Tim Curry as Frankenfurter in Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
This one's good, too. Christoph Waltz as Hans Landa in Tarantino movie. Inglourious Bastards. That's it. Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the Terminator. Mm-hmm. Hugh Laurie is Dr. House. I disagree with that. Anybody could have played Dr. House.
Oh, yeah.
Not anybody, but, you know, multiple people, I think, could have played that role. Maggie Smith as Professor McGonagall. She was pretty good. Ed O'Neill as Al Bundy. I don't know.
I didn't watch that show, but I like Ed O'Neill.
I love Ed O'Neill. I've recently started watching Modern Family a little bit. And I think
I'll watch it on repeat sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's excellent on that.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic in Modern Family.
And he loved that little French bulldog. I mean, Ed in real life.
Yeah.
In real life, loved her.
Good. I want to hear more stories about cast members bonding with working animals. We don't hear about it often, but I assume it doesn't happen very often since we never hear about
it. Can I pipe in? You can keep going, but can I pipe in? Can you imagine the in-laws if it didn't have Peter and Alan?
But they remade it with Michael Douglas and somebody, right?
And did it work?
Well, I don't know because I didn't see it because fuck that. Right. I would not. Meryl Streep as Miranda Priestly, which I guess was the Devil Wears Prada.
And my sister would totally agree with that.
I would probably agree with it a little bit.
I'm not as big a fan of that movie as most people are.
It's okay. John Hamm is Don Draper. That one I agree with.
Yes.
And by the way, Elizabeth, is it, which Elizabeth is it? Moss. Yeah, Elizabeth Moss as Peggy also. And probably January Jones as well. I thought she was, I know.
Richard Slattery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole
And
that
Robert
whole show.
Morse. Everybody. On
everybody. Show. Everybody. Who was.
Perfect casting.
It really was. That entire show was absolutely perfectly cast from top to bottom.
That one and, we always go back, Freaks and Geeks. Nobody could have played any of those roles.
It's true. Freaks and Geeks was again absolutely perfectly cast. Gene Wilder as Wonka. I like that one.
Yeah, he was perfect.
He was perfect, and fuck Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks as Forrest Gump. Interesting. I feel like Forrest Gump maybe could have been done by somebody else, but there's several. I'm not sure Jimmy Dugan would have been as good. With anybody other than Tom
he
Hanks.
Had just the right amount
he
of
did.
A sense of humor.
Exactly.
To Jimmy Dugan.
Jason Alexander as George Costanza in Seinfeld, and I agree with that one also.
Yeah.
I don't think even Larry David could have played the part that well. Those are all the ones.
How about Rosalind Russell as Auntie Mame?
Oh, good one. Good one. Lucille Ball played her in the musical.
Yeah.
And she was all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously, Rosalind Russell's excellent. Anyway, so those are the listeners. Why don't you chime in?
Oh, we would love to hear your comments on that.
Yeah, let's hear. Please. Let's hear. Who you got? Let us know. We will move on now to the fuck offs and you rules portion of our show.
Are we?
Aren't we?
I have a new favorite.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That did not make it into my outline somehow. Oh. I'm so sorry, Bet.
Folks, I promised it last week.
Oh, that's right. I'm so sorry.
I have to give now.
All right. Tell us your new favorite.
And now it's time for...
New favorite.
I like it.
Well, my new favorite was the birthday gift that I was telling
you. That's right.
I got from this wonderful podcast made of mine.
That's right. It's my.
It came to the office, and I opened it up, and if you'll post the link to it, it's by the box just said like IKAOO.
You know, it's one of these Chinese companies that just pull letters out of a Scrabble bag to make up the name of their.
What
it's...
the hell is this?
Right.
So I unboxed it and opened it up. And it took a minute, but then I realized it's like a box with two cutouts in it. One of them was a little circle, and the other was a coffee cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, oh my God, is this not the most thoughtful present that somebody ever got me, because the little circle is a tiny little hot plate.
Yeah.
With a,
just to
with
keep
a,
your coffee cup
yeah.
hot.
Yeah. And you pour your coffee into the coffee cup and you put it on the hot plate, plugs into the outlet. And you've got hot coffee for a fare thee well.
Right.
Which, you know, you've heard me say the word tepid many times. Mm-hmm.
That's all I now, ever hear from her is about her tepid coffee.
The only time you'll hear me say tepid is when I'm doing a movie review.
But, your coffee's still hot, I take it, right now, even as we speak?
It is. And not only, this is so cute. Not only is it the cup and the hot plate, but there's a little spoon with a long handle. Ooh. To where, you know, your cream won't get curdled at the bottom or your sugar.
Nice.
But,
oh,
know,
yeah, I do. I
you can
see
just
that.
Stir it from time to time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful. And it's so sweet. It was such a great gift and a great idea.
Well, I'm so glad you like it. And that's the other thing is you can set whatever temperature you want. If it's too hot at, 160 degrees,
right.
you know, you can set it to
down.
150. Right. Yeah. Set it to whatever you want.
And as great as this is, mm-hmm. as a person, thank you, Tina, we know you're out there, who loves tea as well, I was thinking it would be even better for tea, because tea, you pour it into a pot to steep, and
right.
the pot has no outlet, so it gets cold pretty quick.
That's true.
So you could just keep pouring your tea in the cup.
That's true.
And it's going to keep
indeed.
It as hot as you
and
want.
And keep it.
It
as hot as you want. Exactly. So
great
that's what it is. I don't, you know,
stands.
I'm hesitant to leave a link to it in our description because then you will see how much money I spent on it.
Mm.
You know, I'm from that generation.
That's okay.
So I'm not
that's
sure
okay.
I will do that. Although I noticed now that it is on sale, which pisses me off a little bit because I paid full price for it. But whatever.
But
you're worth it, Niblet. You're worth every penny.
If you go to Amazon, I haven't looked at your stand.
It's
so
Ikago.
I don't
it's Ikago. But I mean,
okay.
just look for
just coffee warmer.
Coffee warmer. Yeah, this is a smart heated coffee mug warmer and mug set. So yeah, it's a and actually the mug I think is a pretty cool looking mug. How
it
big
is
it? Is that does that feel like is it a substantial
it's,
coffee
it's
cup size?
Smaller. It's about coffee cup size.
Okay.
But,
is it,
you know, if you've got the refill coffee beside of you, you just keep pouring into
that's
it.
That's true.
So.
You just keep pouring it in. It's
right.
going to be hot. It's going to remain
right.
hot. So you got that going for you. Anyway, yeah. So that was that's the gift that I got, Bet.
Yeah.
And now it's her new favorite. All right. Now we'll move on to fuck offs and new rules. I'm sorry. That somehow did not make it into my outline. I don't know what I did. I must have done something wrong. So Donald Trump can fuck off. He's a
Oh, he's an orange Cheeto and an asshole. And by the way, so can J.D. Vance. And I was reading an article that J.D. Vance showed up for something at the Kennedy Center and got roundly booed by
everybody.
Good,
fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. And Elon Musk also, he can fuck off.
Oh, he can fuck right off.
And now we'll do you rules. This week I'm giving my you rule to Shannon, who is my mom's hairstylist. That I'd to search long and hard for her. Actually, Marla helped me find her. Thank you, Marla. Thank you again for helping me find Shannon. I just call Shannon every couple months and say, can you go cut my mom's hair again? She's a little steep. It's more than I would pay for a haircut, but you know, she goes out there to mom and
right.
you know, mom's not an easy customer either. So
call.
I would say it's worth it.
You know, a house call that's worth
exactly.
Something.
But, Shannon also, when I called, I did call the facility where mom is and said, I just wanted to let you guys know, this woman named Shannon is coming out tomorrow to cut mom's hair at 10 in the morning. She was like, oh my God, that's great. She goes, have been looking for somebody who can cut hair. She goes, that's, do you know if she'll do other people? I said, oh, I'm sure she'd love to do other people there. So I managed to get Shannon a few more.
Yeah,
I managed to get Shannon a few more clients there. So so that's all good. But I wanted to give Shannon a you rule because she's so great. And she's done a lot of work with people, patients with Alzheimer's and stuff like that. And I can't imagine it's easy to cut their hair.
Right.
So, you know, much appreciation to you, Shannon. Thank you. And you rule.
I went
and
to Darby yesterday. Love a good haircut.
Yep. Sometimes I love even a crappy haircut. I got my haircut a couple weeks ago. It's much too short as usual, but, you know, it's fine. It'll be fine in a couple of weeks. Who's your you rule, Beth?
Well, I have two you rules this week.
Okay.
Both of them are music related.
Hmm.
Even though they're not to musicians.
Uh-huh.
The first one, oddly enough, is for Starbucks.
Oh, okay.
Because I was just one day this week minding my own business. The TV was on in the background, yeah, and a commercial came on. And I swear, I think it's the Willie Nelson version of one of my favorite country songs ever. And I've posted the video 100 times of Steve Earle and Guy Clark and some other early 80s country people doing the song, Stay All Night, Stay a Little Longer, Dance All Night, Dance a Little Longer. Throw off your coat, put it in the corner, don't see why you don't stay a little longer. And they use that song. They show people, you know, just coming in and sitting down and having fun, and they play that song. Yeah. And I thought, oh my God, Starbucks actually knows, or people at the advertising agency know this song.
Yeah.
So that was number one. Number two is for the comedian, and folks, we've talked about him here, John Mulaney.
Mm-hmm.
If you still haven't seen his Netflix comedy special, Baby J, you are missing out in a big way. He is so funny and so personable and just as cute as a bug's ear. And I adore him.
Yeah.
But he was one of the segments this past week on CBS Sunday Morning. And so the woman went out to interview him and, you know, was talking about what he did and his wife who's been through breast cancer and his kids. And it was beautiful. But then they went out with him while he was walking around town, and he's in a record shop with a basket and he's looking through records.
Uh-huh.
And while they're interviewing him, the one album that he has put in his basket to buy is the album Argy Bargy by Squeeze.
One of their best.
One of their best. One of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah.
Just seeing that he bought that album. The Facebook Squeeze page that I'm a member of with Steve Bertram was... The comments just came out like a house of fire.
Oh, yeah. You can't get anything past those Squeeze fans. Those eagle-eyed Squeeze fans.
Oh, yeah. We watch TV waiting for the soundtrack.
That's right. Oh, it's in the grocery store, too. I heard a Squeeze song at the grocery store. I remember those days.
Oh, but John, and I think my comment on the Facebook page was, just when you think you cannot love John Mulaney anymore.
Well, exactly. Thank God he wasn't picking up Domino or Sweet from a Stranger. Oh, well, bless him. And he does rule. Oh, man. All right, we have to go because I can't listen to Bette's smoke alarm chirp anymore. Gang, thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with episode 731 of The Hucklebug. But until that time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bette.
We're Bette and Stenny. You've been listening to The Hucklebug. Bye, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. We love you.
Mwah. That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
I'll act surprised.
Yeah.
I'll act surprised when you say John Mulaney was buying Argy Bargy.